The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Dear, I don't give a damn.
Smell my underarms, please.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Okay, here we go.
Bizarre, outrageous, and incredible stories from around the globe. Bizarre, outrageous, and incredible stories from around the globe. Weekly world news. And now, Edwin Newman. Outrageous and incredible stories from around the globe. Weekly World News. And now, Edwin Newman.
Good evening. I'm Edwin Newman, welcoming you to another edition of Weekly World News on the air. Our cover story this evening begins in a cave deep beneath the Earth's surface. It is here that a college professor and a group of his students have uncovered what may be a living remnant of our human past.
They revolt us. They haunt us. But mostly what they do is horrify us. Though bats have a long way to go before becoming man's best friend, Professor Ron Dillon, chairman of the zoology department at Ozark State College, has spent much of his life trying to dispel the myths about these flying mammals. Professor Dillon led a group of students on a two-day expedition through caves just east of the Shenandoah Mountains. Dillon went deep underground within the crepuscular caves in search of a virtual city of bats. It was there that he saw something that no human had ever laid eyes on.
No amount of knowledge or study or appreciation for the inherent integrity of the species could prepare me for what we discovered. One of my students, Bob, had brought along his camcorder and was able to document the journey. When we came up to the mouth of the cave, we heard a shriek that we couldn't identify.
Come on, let's go.
I went into the cave for a closer look. I saw it. It seemed that its leg might possibly be caught between the rocks.
Deep in that West Virginia cave, Dylan found what can only be described as a creature that was half boy and half bat.
I hardly know what to make of him. He appears to be human, but he's not like any other human being I've ever seen. He's 3 feet tall, weighs 33 pounds. His eyes are twice as big as they should be, and his ears are phenomenally large and well-developed. He was obviously terrified when we found him. He started to panic, started clawing and scratching and screaming like a demon. I had to tranquilize him to bring him out of the cave.
Dylan rushed his amazing discovery, whom he's named Robin after Batman's young ward, to a research center near the college. A special environment was created for testing, observation, and Batboy's comfort.
In the weeks that we've been here, we've learned a lot about him, though every answer just seems to raise another question. This much we do know. He appears to be between 3 and 4 years old. He's just over 3 feet tall, and he now weighs 37 pounds, which is too heavy for him to fly.
Dylan believes that the Batchild belongs to a race that lives miles below the surface and is extremely sensitive to bright light.
My guess would be that they evolved these bat-like features and abilities to enable them to survive in total darkness. But how they got there in the first place is something I'm afraid we might never know.
Robin has adapted well to captivity, gaining 4 pounds since his capture.
Feeding was a problem at first, but he's been doing very well since we took him off of human food and started feeding him bugs. He eats his weight in him every day, and the hunt keeps his instincts sharp. It's extremely quick and very active.
All that activity tires him out, as it would any young boy. And Robin follows his instinct for sleep as well. Dylan's affection for Robin is clear and runs as deep as the cave where he found him. But as much as he loves his bat child, his scientific curiosity has already led to the planning of his next ascent into his bat cave in the spring.
This strange little boy may very well lead us to a world within a world, a highly complex subterranean civilization. But no matter what happens, it's going to change the way we think about mankind and evolution forever.
Smell my underarms, please.
Broadcasting. I'm everybody's target, okay? So they're ready to get me, and they haven't got me yet. They won't be tonight. My name is Frank Atolo, man whose name is on the title of the show. We're back. We never go far. We're back. I am the Bard of Broadcasting. Here we go. I'm also the third man, the godfather of internet radio, and the vegetable man. I'm not a vegan. I'm a vegetable man. Great difference. Stay with us. This is just got to be done, and somebody's got to do it, and might as well. Always has been me. We'll be right back.
cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello, and into every bordello. Wake up. It's night. That's right. There's no more MySpace. So you can't spend time screwing around on that thing. And, who knows? And now that we've got the Bat Boy, yes, you gotta replenish your precious bodily fluids. Because, you know, I think it was 2 weeks in a row, I've lost track. I'll tell you why I've lost track of all of it when it concerns Cantolo Chronicles. That's because, I've been on so long, and, it's been so many years, and I'm here, I'm not here, I'm here, I'm not here. The last 2 years, which aren't the last 2 years so far, unless we make an announcement, and we announce it. But, you know, I used to do this show, there were never breaks, we didn't have like summer shows, summer reruns, or we didn't do that, we didn't do anything. We just did it over and over and over again, week after week after week after week. I've done it sick. I've done it yes, I've done it literally. I got sick. Excuse me. The whole family got it that time. The Legionnaires, it's not Legionnaires disease, no. It was something that happened. Everybody caught this weird disease. It was a germ. It came from some cruise ship, believe it or not. And we got it here in the house somehow. And while I was doing a show a long time ago, I started to get sick. Now, you know, instead of, when I was younger then or what have you, even though I was getting sick, and instead of going away, which is like, good night, I gotta go, I'm sick, you know, I got very weak, and I was going to throw up, or maybe I did throw up, or I was, I stayed on. I couldn't sit up. I couldn't even sit up. I had to lay down. So I laid down on the floor here and put the microphone on the floor and talked as my illness progressed. Now, those were different days, different times, even though I was younger. I don't want to, jinx myself, not that I believe in being jinxed, no, it's to jinx myself, but I don't want to get sick. If I got something happen, like right now, I just go, oh, I gotta go, kids. That's it. I gotta go. Bye. I'll just leave. And as I said, we didn't do summer shows in those days. So that was being sick. I did it. But, even the heat, the incredible, it is believable. And it's actually right now still, it's not, you know, oppressive as heat can be. Through one season, I think, or season and a half, we had an air conditioner down here, but it didn't work. We put on a fan. But you know, in the old days, we can handle a lot of that with a cold rag or, you know, cold drink and a beer or whatever it is. We stayed cool, through the summer and never missed a show. Usually technical problems would cancel shows, but never sickness. Come on. But, at my age, now we have such and this has nothing to do with climate change or what have you. I don't think it does. I can't say it doesn't or it doesn't, but you know, there are some nights it's been so hot and there is no air conditioning here that we just stopped. And, Phil Hong over at, SRN Media Works is a wonderful guy, to be in partners with in this broadcasting journey of mine. And, you know, he said, hey, you know, your help is more important than we know. They're old people in this kind of heat could be dangerous. Was it heat stroke or heat, whatever it is? It just doesn't work for you guys. You can pass out or what have you. And we've had some mighty fiery temperatures and stuff, even into the evening, the humidity and everything. And even drinking, I always tell everyone, no matter what time of year it is, season of year, no matter what, I always say, replenish your precious bodily fluids, because the true enemy is dehydration. I don't want to dehydrate. And I don't know. Do you dehydrate more or quicker? Do you dehydrate quicker when you're older? I don't know. talking to an old friend of mine, actually the son of an old friend of mine. You son of an old friend of mine, who do you think you are today? And, you know, and he's like 56. Holy moly. And I'm, yeah, I know. And I'm going, and he's going, do you believe this? How did this crap happen? What the frick happened? So in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, we are here now. But to stay here for the 2 hours, because it's another terrible night, it's still, but it's terrible. It's still terrible. But what a beautiful thing just happened before I went on the air, and before it had gotten dark here on the live version of this show, because, you know, we're played by other stations, and you could find out. Go to Cotola Chronicles. Excuse me, .blogspot.com. Excuse me. Okay. As I'm looking out the windows of the studio windows, and there was an animal, because it's that time of the year when, you know, actually, every time of year, deer is out there, deer. And there was a doe. And you know, doe, a deer, a female deer, was out there. Doe, a deer, a female deer, looking for food all by herself. And one, you know, you don't usually see deer alone. Wherever there's a deer close by, there are more deer, not deers. There she was looking around. And that's when I noticed that the guy who does my lawns left a big patch in the back. And I just paid him today. And I'm going, whoa, what is that big patch in the back? Why didn't he go over it? See, because that's another thing. Tending to all the land I have here. See, that's my water bottle. Tending to all the land I have here becomes more and more difficult because of my age. Although it's good to, you know, use my muscles and do various exercises, which mowing lawns and, you know, chopping down wood and stuff is part of that. But it's good. But, you know, when it gets really hot and the weatherman goes, now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, older people should be dropping in the streets today if it's so hot, you know, whatever. And of course, you know, I got to be it's bad enough to know, like, you know what? It's 93. Someone said, yeah, it's 93. And then, you know, when you ask somebody, you know, what's the temperature right now? Because it's really, you know, and they say, well, it's 89, but it feels like 93. It's like, oh, God, it feels like, you know, 89 with high humidity, to me, is what's the difference between that and 93? Water, 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 water. But anyway, so we are here. And then, but I'm going to do something because I had, you might know already, if you were listening from the onset, what does that mean anyway, from the onset? From the beginning of the show, you heard in our opening collage, you heard a rare portion of the Weekly World News TV show. That was from 1996. In 2009, the very famous Weekly World News paper, the granddaddy of all the phony, funny, crazy news stuff there may have been ever in print. But you could get at a newsstand, but there's no more newsstands. And you could have gotten at now today you can get it at, well, you could have gotten it, and you, one time you could get it in supermarkets. You know, they have all those point of purchase magazines while you're waiting online. And now they're ridiculous because there's not even a lot of them anymore because there's no, you know, you see Life magazine. Hey, there's still Life magazine. It says Life magazine. Jerry Garcia, an entire edition of, what? You know, these special issues. There's no weekly Life magazine anymore. Who needs it? We're in an era where this, every piece of information you want is in your hand and close to your body. And this was the week that Mad Magazine, I've done shows on Mad Magazine, I believe. Who knows anymore what I did? Wow. Back when there were not millions of things to listen to, even before there were podcasts, But in any event, in all events, and certainly this event, because Mad Magazine has decided to stop publishing every month or 2 months or whatever they finally went to quarterly with new material. And now they're just going to rehash old material from, well, they began in 1952 or 53, and they're just going to be publishing, republishing old stuff for a new audience, maybe. Who knows how that's going to sell. But the Weekly World News also ran into a problem around 1995. And that is, you know, it was getting tougher and tougher to sell newspapers anywhere. Now, there's, of course, there's still a couple of rags out there, like the National Enquirer, and I don't even know if the Globe or whatever that other one was called. I don't know what else is there except the National Enquirer. But there, like I said, there are these magazines, there's People, there's Us, there's Puss, there's all these. I had to take off, when I rarely do this, I took off my headphones because I'm getting them all wet. So it's getting there. But anyway, Weekly World News, put them back on until, Weekly World News left, but they're still on the web. I don't know if Mad Magazine has a website or if they do anything like that. I didn't look into that. That's not the story tonight. The story is Weekly World News. When Weekly World News stopped publication and went to the interweb where they still are located, and if you go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com and you see the link in the description of this show or what we were going to do on the show, what we are going to do on the show because there's no present tense, then you know that Oh, I just realized that's not even there. The file, I gotta get the file. Oh, there, no, that's not it either. Okay, I'll get it. In 2009, who'd we have, what was her name? Oh boy. Leslie? We had the, current, at that time, the managing editor lady who was handling the website, Weekly World News. Do you know Weekly World News? If you went to the CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, you saw the cover of one of the old issues, wild, wacky news, unbelievable stuff, because most of it was unbelievable. And they actually went to television at one point. And that was Edwin Newman talking, who was the host of this show, when Weekly World News took some of their crazy news stories and passed them off as real. You know, in a way, they never said it was real, but that's it. They never said it was real. They just said, reported it, all right? And you would assume it was real or laugh because it wasn't real or whatever you wanted to do, but it was amusing anyway. And it was done in strict journalistic style. So it, addressed the stories and the craziness was addressed, but you saw the, you see that. And if you went to Yahoo or Google Images and you wrote in Weekly World News front pages or whatever, headlines, it would take you to any number of those little pieces of, what are they called, icons? No, they're not icons, they're JPEGs or they're GIFs or GIFPEGs or something, which says on it, you know, what the cover of the printed. So you see that. But anyway, I found out that, in 2009, I found out, I remembered, I looked in the archives, and yes, we did have it. 2009, an exclusive interview. As the people who ran, Weekly World News went to the interweb. So you can still go see it on the interweb and read the wild stories they have there and have a bunch of laughs or what have you. But you're going to learn if you care about learning. This is fascinating. I'm not going to talk now about, you know, how great it is because you can listen to it and decide whether it's great or not. And I'm going to tell you one thing, though, that's very strange. And I hope it's not too annoying to you. Where is it? Here you go. And that is that for some reason or another, hear that? Okay, for some reason or another, and I think it had to do with the phone, because at the time we used the phone hooked up to our mixing board, and that's how we had guests in 2009. So we didn't do Skype back then. We would always have some problems, and there were some phone problems with doing it, because now everybody, you can do it on what? On Periscope right now, they have the newest version. People call in. People call in to people who are showing their faces and anything else they want to show or can show or get away with or selling whatever they sell. And so everybody's got a show there, but we're going to go back some other week and talk about everybody's show and how this is just way out of hand, way out of hand. Maybe we'll get the artist D, who agrees with me about all this stuff and has been here forever, to also talk about how crowded the planet internet has become, all right? But we had an interview, and unfortunately, as I said, there's going to be some hum in it, but we're going to go back to that interview, which I got to find. Let's see, where do I have to find out? It goes to 30. I got to start at 30, what? 3230. I got to go to 3230 of this particular show. And 33, I'm finding it right now because we have this. It's 327. I've got 3230. Where are you, man? 3239. That's close. Okay. This takes like, you know, 327, 3239. I can't get to 32, 32, 32, 7. Does this matter? Really, does it matter? Look, wait. Oh, wait a second. I could, wait. I could just, if I did this right, bingo. 32, 12, 33, 12. No. 32, 7. Why do you want to keep going to 32, 32, 39? Okay, let's 32, 7 then. Okay, fine. It's only 23 seconds till it gets to 32. Right? Would that be? Doing a math? I don't know. And it will end, a while after that. And we'll hear it. Now, there's a little hum in there, and we had some communication problems with Leslie. I believe it was Leslie. But, you know, you're gonna hear it exactly as it was broadcast in, okay, when? January 8th, 2009. You could, if you go to CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com, if you have nothing to do and you care to do this, you can scroll through many years of, not shows, but of subjects that, of the shows, of every Thursday. Go to Thursday of every week since, I don't know when it starts, 2000, was it starting 6 or 7? I don't know, wherever it starts. And all the way through, you can go through each week, look at Thursday, and it tell you what was on that week, and if you find a show you'd like to hear again, we will play portions of it, not the whole thing but like I'm doing now. A little bit of live and a little bit of that. And you're welcome for the wonderful radio. I may add, I just added. My name is Frank Catolo, the man's name adorns the title of the show. So you can write to us. This one, no one wrote about this one, but, I don't know why I thought of it again. I don't know, but that doesn't matter either. The point is we're going to have it. We're going to play it. And then, I'll come back. And we'll get out of here and let you out of here as early as possible. I just bear with the hum. Just because there's a hum there doesn't mean you're not going to like not hear. You're not going to, you are going to, why do I say not going to not? That's double negative. You are going to hear me. You are going to hear the editor. You are going to hear the conversation even when it's broken up, and I will come back and we'll talk a little bit or do what have you. This will also help get me. You should see my shirt. It's already starting to stain. Not doesn't stain. Sweat Doesn't Stain. The name of my new book, by the way. Sweat Doesn't Stain by Frank Catolo. I'll be out there next week. Speaking of books, let me just say this before we move on. I want to thank a swarm of people, even though they might not hear me. Oh, they can hear me too, because you can hear me on stations and whatever you are if you're in Europe and even in England, which is not Europe, you know, you can hear Catolo Chronicles, and you know that it goes on here and there, and stations play it or what have you. So you've heard things about my books at Amazon. And a swarm of Europeans have been buying. And, it, you know, I think that's why it said pending. The money was coming in, but it said pending. Because Amazon just sends when you have a book, where they, you know, you get your share. They just shove it into your bank account. And it said pending. Now, if that turns out to be the bunch of sales, I think, then I thank you all. And what am I saying? Am I saying that people should be listening? There's no other advertisements for the books. So I don't know why all of a sudden they'd be coming from Europe. I just thought of this now, but so and then are they Eurons? What are they called? Eurons. What's the currency now? I don't know. Brexit, urine Brexits or whatever. I don't know. It used to be pounds and stuff. But anyway, thank you very much. And I'm reminding the rest of you listening in other parts of the world that Amazon has 4 or 5, I don't even know, books by me available in digital form. Because why would anybody want paper anymore? It's too expensive. You get so much cheaper. I'm also available on Lulu. Lulu.com. People don't know Lulu as much as they know Amazon. And Lulu, how do they stay going? I got a bunch of chapbooks there that are cute. And of course, the Molotov memoir twins, the original Molotov memoirs, and more Molotov memoirs available at blurb.com. And thank you very much for you people. And if you aren't the people who bought it, then thank you for the people who are going to buy it. If you're the people, not the people who bought it, then you may run into people who bought it. Thank them for me. Right? What else can I do? We're going to go to this particular interview and parts of me doing stuff here. Remember, this is from 2009. So, I'm just going to cut into the part of the show, which I 32 minutes into the show. And that's funny too. Not funny at all. We're here at, 31 minutes we've been into the show. So let's go to that. And then you'll hear me, you'll hear the show, and then I'll be back and we'll talk about more things. I have no idea what at the time. There's always something to talk about on Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man's name is during the title of the show. And here I am. I introduced myself. What is this? 9 years ago? Almost 10. And exclusive interview with the people, the person. I think maybe two. I thought there were two. Maybe that was another time. I don't know. Here we go from 2009.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's just call Leslie in her cell because, okay. Let's do that because this is a, this just doesn't work. Okay. Let's see. And you know her six, there's, okay. Get Leslie in her cell and we'll just work from there. Leslie? Let's get Leslie. Leslie's got it. Her cell's got it.
This is Leslie.
Leslie? Hey, this is Frank. You're on Cotolo Chronicles.
Hello?
Leslie? Leslie? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me, Leslie? Leslie? Leslie?
Yes.
There you are. Hey, it's Frank on Cotolo Chronicles.
Hello, Frank. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. You know, I called the other number, and I put in my ID, and then they asked me for a PIN number. I don't got a PIN number.
Really? I just called and put the ID, and they asked if I was a moderator. And the moderator, I just didn't accept the moderator position, and I was in waiting, but...
Yeah, they said
it works as well.
Yeah, yo, this is fine. I just and that's why I wanted a backup because I don't have a PIN. They asked me for a PIN number, and I said, you know.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, here we go.
Hey, we're here, and you're here, and how are you doing? Are you at the office? Are you at Weekly World News headquarters right now?
I am not at the Weekly World News headquarters right now. I just left a little bit ago. So I'm no longer at the office, but
and the office now is you're right there in the thick of New York's publication row.
Yes, we are. We're in the middle of New York City, hiding in our Bat Boy Cave.
We're in your Bat Boy Cave.
Our Bat Boy Cave. Yes.
Is this where were the offices before this?
We are actually in Midtown right now. And I believe the old offices were down in Florida. I'm not 100% sure on that, but
I think you're right. I do remember Florida as being an address for that place.
Yes. So yeah. We are now located in the heart of Manhattan.
I've been telling people my personal story over the past couple of weeks in little snippets. And right before I called you, I was talking again about when I found Weekly World News as a kid growing up in New York. You obviously know a lot about the history of it as an analog hard copy tabloid.
Yes.
So why don't we start, because we have people here We have an audience that is under 50 and over 50. A lot of them don't know what the heck we're talking about and are going to be introduced to your new incarnation, which would be on the internet. Why don't you tell us first a little bit about Weekly World News, who started it, when it started, back when?
Well, actually, our 30-year anniversary is upcoming this year in 2009. So it started about 30 years ago as a print magazine and tabloid that was strictly in the supermarkets and was Weekly World News, obviously printed weekly. And it's been that until, you know, now we're more focused on the online content. And we just started focusing on online content this past year. And have we are now an insert in the Sun magazine that is weekly as well and still in the supermarkets, And so for the past 30 years, we have been a print publication, and now we are focused on online content and expanding into other media outlets and platforms.
You know, if I was in a trivia contest right now and they asked me how old the Weekly World News, you know, I would go way before 79. It has the publication itself has such an original feel and that you would think it was around a lot longer than just 30 years. That's only 79.
I know. It seems like a lot longer. It really does. I mean, I went through all of the archives, and I was in charge of myself and the production manager went out and went through all of the archives, and, I mean, dates back to 1979. And it's amazing to see, you know, the difference of the articles from, you know, just the physical content of the 1979 article versus, you know, a 2000 article.
So right.
Very interesting, and I think we had about 8 ton, literally, of articles that were out in the warehouse. So, very interesting experience.
Yeah, where do you? It was bought. When was it? When did it really go out of print?
This past year, in about 2007. We're still in insert right now.
Well, I know, but I mean, it's not Weekly World News in the soup. That's what made me find you again. I was telling everybody how I came about calling you, because I suddenly, there was something missing in my life. And I'm walking through, you know, it's amazing, because, you know, there was a time, and I think if you still have the archives, you'll look me up. I subscribed. I mean, I was a subscriber. You should get it in the mail.
We get so many emails a day, like, where are you? Where's our, you know, we want our print publication. How can I subscribe? Or how can I send a gift to, you know, my father, who's been an avid fan for the past 20 years, and so, you know, most of our stuff now is we're trying to do email alerts, and I mean, that's kind of what society wants. They're more, you know, up to speed with technology and, you know, wanting, you know, Weekly World News at the minute, so it's kind of what we've been focusing on.
So did a bunch of people get together and form Batboy LLC to buy this because you were fans or you're journalists? How did this come about? Who decided to keep this thing alive, and who came up with the energy and the money to do so?
Oh, you know, I wish Neil McGinnis, who's the CEO, had, you know, he's out on his way back to Connecticut now.
Just tell us what you know in general. We don't need details. I mean,
Okay. He has a very successful background working for National Lampoon. He worked for IMG, NBC. He's been all over the place, and he just saw this brand as, you know, as quote-unquote people say, as a mini Marvel, and being able to kind of, you know, license the characters out, license and work with them, expand the brand. And we haven't really exploited the brand in as many outlets as we had hoped. And so that's kind of our main focus right now. It's just he thinks it's wonderful. He loves the brand. He sees, you know, the best of the brand and laughs at all the stories, and he's very, very creative, and just kind of wanted to build the brand further than it had, you know, it was kind of at a, not an end point, but just kind of at a, you know, wanted to just exploit the brand, so that's kind of where we are today.
And then, of course, in the new theater of publication, I guess the best thing he thought it would be also financially not just not adventurous, but even secure, more secure and inexpensive, yeah, to be able to go on the internet and try to reach a whole new audience like I've been doing here, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I think a lot, not just necessarily our brand, but I think a lot of magazines and newspapers are doing that as well.
Sure, we've had talks with a guy named a wonderful man named a journalist, a humorist named Kurt Brando, works in a Honolulu Bulletin up there. Is always telling us, he's on the cutting edge of everything that's going on in publication. We've had a lot of discussions about what's happening to newspapers. I hear that the New York Times actually makes more money on their now on their internet site than they do with their newspaper. Did you hear that?
Yeah. The New York Times, I think the Wall Street Journal, heading that way as well. So
it's crazy, isn't it?
It's because you get more money from, you know, sponsors and advertisers than you do subscribers. So it's you know, advertisers are willing to pay more money to spend on your site, and so interesting.
Is the profit margin is also increased by the fact that there's a tremendously low overhead, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, in the old days, or let's go back a years. Well, first, what's your connection with this publication in your life? You don't sound as old as me.
I don't know how old I am.
You know, you sound so incredibly young by comparison to me, at least. And I'm going, how well do you know this, and what's your history with this particular publication?
You know what I think is so interesting about our company that I'm with now, and like our team that's really, you know, trying to rebuild this, or to build out, I should say. You know, Neil has grown up with the brand and is just such a strong fan of the brand. And I kind of came in, you know, I was growing up, I was a younger child reading the newspaper and being like, oh wow, like mom, what is this at the supermarket? And, you know, I grew up with that and didn't really think too much into it. And I was actually brought over from a company that I was working at before and just kind of fell into the pathway and have loved every minute of it from, you know, just being able to expand Back Boy or, you know, work with the musical production or so many different, dealing with the emails that come in. And, I mean, today we received an email from an individual that saw a tomato angel and thought we should write a story about it and really thought we would be interested. And it was this tomato that he had sliced. And for some reason, the interior looked like an angel. And so he put up on eBay, and I mean, 3 hours later, the tomato that had just been sliced was up for, like, you know, $200 for bids. So it's very interesting. We just get stories like that, and I work with teachers, you know, across the United States that really see this brand as a learning, you know, academia for their students. Mm-hmm. You know, they can kind of bring different points to cover stories, and there's just so many different ways to look at the brand, which is, I think, is very interesting to me. So,
well,
I came on board, you know, after acquisition, and it's been very fun.
Having been a journalist in my life, and I used to tell people who wanted to be journalists, younger people, I used to say, look, if you want to learn how to write, a story, and really as tightly as you can to keep the interest of people, and to get the, you know, the W's, all the W's in there. I said,
right.
Don't read the Times. Don't look at anything that I would always tell them, why don't you read Weekly World News? I swear to God, because I'll tell you why. I always felt this. I always felt that regardless of the content, okay, you know, it's like a movie. There's a movie about gladiators, and then there's another movie about two kids who grow up during the Dust Bowl, right, in America.
Right.
And yet, you know, the elements of this drama, of these two dramas, are the same. You know, might be, and because all the elements of what makes a dramatic piece exist in a good dramatic piece. It's the same thing in journalism. Whether it's the story of Bigfoot kept the lumberjack as love slave, or you know, or for, you know, or the 9/11 story, whatever. Whatever the journalistic reality, how it is delivered, how it is the journalism is, and I used to tell people, why don't you learn by looking at this. And then people would laugh at me as if content meant more. And when you're learning, and it doesn't. I think Weekly World News, one thing that really kept it readable and one thing that kept fans going was not just the amazing content and the wonderful things that people give it, like tomatoes as angels, Jesus's sandal found in Central Park, and you know, not just that, but the fact that it was presented to you exactly the way any story would be sent, you know, any piece of journalism.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
And that certainly must have been one of the elements that they did from the beginning. Who founded this? What was his name?
Let me see. American Media Incorporated is
Generoso P. Pope Jr. Is that him? Generoso P. Pope Jr.?
Yes, that is exactly who founded the company.
Publisher? Oh, he was then publisher?
No, it was the world's fattest mouse. He founded the company.
Oh, great. He was then the publisher of the National Enquirer.
And he decided to take a step up and come over to the Weekly World News. That's exactly right.
Now, in the beginning of this, I would imagine people were, well, let's look at the readership for a second, because people now understand a little bit more. I've mentioned this too before. I said, you know, there would be, you know, The Onion, there'd be no Onion if it wasn't for Weekly World News. You guys are the foundation, parody, the extreme news. You guys are the guys who started this. By presenting it the way you presented it, as I said, not only with sound journalistic proponents but by doing it that way and also keeping being tremendously slick and sharp and current, you were able to set up a whole new genre, which The Onion, of course, now, you know, just they yielded like a sword on the internet, right?
I mean, The Onion, don't get me wrong, has done very well, and a lot of people have said that we are the quote-unquote Onion to the blue-collared crowd and not necessarily the white-collared crowd. But to me, it's not necessarily a comparison, just from a standpoint that we bring in the sci-fi, the alien. They are just the new. Yes, they are the news, but it's, you know, obviously unrealistic news, and we can add our wonderful characters in there, whether it's, you know, Edinger, Bigfoot, you know, the world's fattest, you know, again, cat. But, you know, that has been our focus. We have focused a lot on news and relevant topics because I think that's what's more appealing to the mass audience.
Sure, I don't think, that's what I'm saying. I think that The Onion owes to you guys as a foundation publication. I mean,
I think we appreciate that.
I don't think anybody who studies this kind of stuff. See, we're big here on whenever we talk about anything here, we like to take it back, because we don't really believe anything is, you know, totally original. Everything has its roots. Everything has its influences, and of course, you know, then they're translated into you know, with your own personality, into whatever it is. That's what artists do. That's what writers do. I mean, there's no denying any of that stuff. So I think that to look at journalism, and not especially printed journalism, look at the history of journalism and not take in the Weekly World News would be a gross, if you understand me, it would be a gross mistake. It would be a giant mistake to do that. You know?
Well, that's Johnny Depp's, one of our favorite quotes is Johnny Depp says, you know, the only news that he reads is the Weekly World News. So,
see? You see that, everyone?
Johnny Depp, he's on our side.
Johnny Depp. It's perfect too. When in the old days, or certainly when this first came out, and you might not know this, but even now, the line between those who might believe a lot of the stuff, not just the outrageous stuff, there's a lot of things going on. As I was telling everyone, how busy, how wonderfully busy this tabloid used to be. I don't know how you're going to be able to create that. I've been to the website a billion times and stuff, but to create that wonderful busyness that appears in a publication, as they do in Great Britain with all their tabloids,
right?
And you guys, of course, you know, I'm sure the originators of this owe a lot to that particular format. But it was great. There was something it would take you a while to go through every page because there were even these little paragraph stories. You know?
Oh, right. I mean, exactly.
There were tons of these little things. I don't know how you're going to recreate that or if that even matters, but to keep it as busy as possible. But the idea I'm coming up with here right now is the sheer amount of content was incredible.
Right.
Okay, so where was all this stuff coming from?
You mean previously, or like what we're focusing on now?
Let's talk about previously. What do you mean? Who were all these people who, you know, once in a while they'd show a writer, or they'd have that guy who was always screaming. Who was the guy who was always doing that pro-American? Who was the name of that character they had that was always screaming, "My golly, Americans should stand up and..."
Ed Anger, our ultimate conservative writer.
Ed Anger!
He's back! We have him, he's up and running now on our website. He's an official blogger on our website, Ed Anger. So you have to come check him out.
I'm going to have to go and check him out
too. Wonderful.
But I mean, who were all these people? Was there a large staff at one time putting out all this product?
I believe so. I have a lot of people that contact us now, that were ex-staff that was wanting to, still come in and write for us. And we have quite a few staff writers right now that are all across the United States that submit content to our website. And we love them, and so they're all,
Now, everybody who's involved with it now, you're saying that some of the old people are still, I say old, I mean some of the former, I don't mean to make judgments.
Yes and no. We primarily have newer editors. We do have, I was at a conference this past fall and happened to run into someone who works at Jim Henson, and she happened to work at the Weekly World News about 20 years ago. So just very ironic, you run into the most random people that have been involved with Weekly World News in every aspect. I mean,
wow.
That's very interesting.
And the new people, are these younger people, or are these people, have they, the new people?
All across the board.
So the newer people are getting, how are the newer writers getting acquainted with the essence of doing this kind of journalism?
What I think is so unique about our situation is we have the people that, one, grew up with Weekly World News and, were older and could really appreciate, like, yourself to see, the great assets within the company and, like, what Weekly World News really is as a brand. Mm-hmm. And then you have the younger writers and some of the other employees that, they're the end of the beginning of the new media evolution. So kind of like, Web 2.0. What are we really focusing on now? That's great to have a publication, but at the same time, I think Neil was great to see, how we can expand this brand. And that's kind of what's nice about the younger generation as well, is, kind of mixing all of those ideas together and being able to, expand the brand as much as possible. And you get the both of best worlds. So.
And keeping a lot of the running characters was all part of the deal, because these characters seem to transcend generations anyway. And I almost remember the first Bat Boy story.
Oh, which was it?
I think the one I remember reading, it was quite a long time ago. And now that you tell me, it's from 79. For God's sake, 79. I'd already
first
left.
Year.
Yeah, I'd have left New York. I went to. I was in Hollywood for a bunch of years. So by 79, I thought for sure I was reading this stuff in New York, but I guess I was reading it in New York on trips or something, because by 79 I was already in California, and I remember reading this Bat Boy thing, and so it must have been one of the first things. Now, I'm assuming that when they came out with this thing, it sold so many that week that they decided to keep Bat Boy. I mean, is that what happened?
I wish I could go back and track that. I mean, I would assume so. I'm not exactly sure what the Bat Boy is from West Virginia. He grew up in a cave there, and he's actually beginning to tell us his life story and new story, so you guys will have to keep in tune over the next year of he's breaking out and telling a story. So
how much of the old stuff are you going to have, are you going to bring back? Because some of the stuff is timeless if it doesn't relate to, you know, like the ones where, you know, alien meets Bill Clinton, and he's not president any longer, of course. So, you know, but of course, the alien comes down and meets everybody eventually, right? All the big guys.
Right.
And the fact that he looks like more like Obama now than he ever did.
Have you seen our little Obatma?
Obatma? I made the mistake of eating a sandwich when I went to the website and I first saw Obatma. And I was just lost it. My screen was ham and cheese and, you know, lettuce. It's great. I could see how you people are. That definitely is in keeping with the tradition.
He is great. And you know what? We are, to answer your question, we are focused on. We have all of our old articles back to 79, and, you know, that's one of our main goals, you know, for 2009 is to, you know, tap into those articles and issues and kind of, you know, the Jesus issues, the Bible issues, there's so many issues we could go on and talk about forever, but...
I put one of the, that Jesus sandal cover.
Yes.
I put that on the blog today.
The Jesus sandal.
Yeah, that, you know, but here's how I found it, and I think this is great. Everyone wants to, if anybody wants to do this, you can do this now, or at least after the show. Don't interrupt yourself right now. And that is, you go to, I went to Google Images, and I put in Weekly World News at Google Images, and up came, pages upon pages of the covers.
Yep.
And that's why, you know, I took one of the covers and put it on the blog when I said, you know, you were going to be on tonight. And I know, then there's tons of them there. I think you people, what you should do, because these are just classic. The covers are just classic. Because
they are.
Yeah. They don't just lead the ones, there's a whole bunch of stories that are headlined. And you got to see it, especially since also... you had a fine production staff forever, and I know, I just know this. I don't have to talk to anybody. I know that there must have been talks along the way, early on, when it started to get popular, where people said, "Let's go color," and there must have been people saying, "No, you can't do this in color." This, the very essence of black and white is what this is all about. It makes it kind of real and unreal. The minute you go color, you just change it. Now, you guys are color now because
online, yes.
Yeah, online. There's a whole different story. In those days, when they were doing this, the idea of keeping it black and white, because these were all people, I imagine, who were also coming out of the whole 50s and 60s UFO thing, right?
Yeah, and to your point, it's, as I said, I was going through all of the archives, and it's funny because you can see that. It's, you know, they kind of experimented with, like, a red banner around, you know, like the 1988 issues, and then they're like, well, no, we don't want to do that. Let's try, like, doing a, you know, a yearly special magazine on color with a color cover.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, let's not do that. So it's they did experiment with it, but I think you're exactly right there. The black and white kind of went with the whole theme of Weekly World News.
Yeah, and it just made it, in a sense, it made it more, it's kind of stamps it almost as, hey, this could be real.
It is real.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Because newspapers, I mean, someone at those meetings must have sat there and went, look, imagine if the New York Times went color, and, you know, the Post and the News have tried here and there, and it just, you know, it just doesn't work totally, because something about black and white, just the contrast of it, that makes it, it almost validates it. It's like, look, this is real. We're telling you what's happening here, you know? It's a strange psychological thing. I don't know if there are any studies, but I know there must have been talk, because Weekly World News always sat there in black and white, and I know it wasn't just an economical decision. There's something, something in the nature of the business of what they were doing there.
Right.
Now, doing it in color and doing it, why don't you tell us now, since we've, they know where to go and look at old stuff and everything, why don't you tell us what As we do, I just want to say here, we're at the top of the hour here. It's, you're listening to Cotolo Chronicles, and we got Leslie Grossnickel with us from Weekly World News. We've been telling you about this show for some weeks now, and Leslie's here. And maybe we can, I hope in the future we can get Neil and on too, and we can talk with him. I want to make sure you guys are, you know, can't we do that, right?
At least we can try to do that.
Yeah, we can try that again too. But as of right now, as we go to the half of the program right now, we're talking with Leslie here and about Weekly World News. Why don't you tell us now, when you get together and you talk now about what's going to be, I mean, do you guys have like you have publication meetings like the way, you know, you do in magazines where everybody gets together and says, what's in the next issue or how we're going to turn it around, what we're going to do? How does that work now?
You know, with the website, it's a little different. It's, you know, what news, you know, late this evening is going to break and be news tomorrow. So we have a production manager, a content production manager, who's in charge of most of the online content. And her name is Laura, and she's, you know, does the photoshopping with, you know, the images and recreates new stories. So kind of whatever is the top of the hour, we kind of figure out some way to put our wonderful characters, Batboy, Edinger, Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster,
or Batney Spears. Batney Spears. Who came up with that one, huh?
Exactly. Batney Spears, Obatma, World's Fattest Cat, all of them. So we try to plug those in and make them best as we can be in and real time.
And you have a large production staff? I mean, or just a couple of concentrated geniuses?
A couple of concentrated geniuses is what I like to say. We have a small staff in the New York office. We have a bunch of writers, but yes, we have a small staff.
So the writers are all telecommunicating. So like Neil or whoever the managing editor there is calling out people and saying, or are the writers stringing calling in and saying, hey, here's an idea, you know, lightning strikes, you know, Joe Biden's head and removes his, you know, fake hair or something, things like that. People call it
exactly.
And then
we did a birth story today. I think we also a Joe Francis story with the bailout. So we had a
How often is it changing now then?
We try to put up about 4 or 5 stories a day. I think that will that is going to change. I know within the next few weeks, our content will be up a lot more stories. Video. We're focusing on video now.
Video. How are you going to do? How are you going to do video? Are you going to? Are you gonna start animating things or doing CGI? I mean, how are you going to do this?
That will be one thing. Yes. I mean, today we posted a story. It was a UFO attacked like an energy one of those energy poles, and so we put up an original video from YouTube of one of the circular wind energy. I'm drawing a blank on what they're called. The swirly thing.
Oh, those like little propellers.
The little propellers. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And so we posted an original content, captured a screenshot of that, and we threw in our UFO story and how our UFO decided to run into one of those and destroy them. So
6 or 7.
So just kind of using content that's already there and. Yeah. Putting new stories to that. And so that was one of our, we do stories from CNN and we are focusing on animation as well, yes. And a bunch of other things that are in the works that you will have to tune in to weeklyworldnews.com to find out.
Sure. We have everybody. We're constantly telling people to get over there. What is the goal? Well, no. What is the goal? I mean, in terms of advertising, and I don't mean to get personally into the, you know, configuration of the, you know, economics of publishing on the website or what have you, or certainly with a new place, even though you're a brand. But what do you expect? Do you expect to have you know, Coca-Cola, or I mean, do you expect to get? Because you have a store there, right? Tell us about the store first of all with the brand products, right? Don't you have?
Yes, we do our store. Yes, we have merchandise on our store, which is actually under somewhat of construction right now. We will have a bunch of new, you know, T-shirts and skateboards and hats and apparel and consumer products that will be available, I would say, within the next few weeks for sure. And so that's kind of underway as well. So everything with this new year, 2009, we have a lot of things that are under construction that will be definitely up and running within the next month, which is fantastic on our end. So.
And in terms of advertisers, other outside advertisers, is it? I don't know. Are you searching for? Or do you go to?
Right now we have some excellent advertisers. VH1 is one of our big advertisers. We had some stuff with Sprint and Nokia. We had a wonderful rum brand that was on there for quite a while. And we do have advertisers with us right now. Of course, we're always open to advertisers and do pursue them. And if anyone wants to advertise on our site, we are more than happy to accept that.
Sure.
So,
but it's a whole new ball game, though. It's a whole new ball game in terms of banners and how sponsors are accepted and where they show up or links
of course, and I'm sure you're well aware of that with your own site as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you know, with us, it's almost, you know, with me, it's almost impossible. I do have one, you know, small sponsor, but it's always been impossible. I'll tell you why it's been impossible. See, you don't have this problem, and that is that advertising agencies are still, you know, they're still number and demographic conscious to an extreme. And although I have listeners, and I know, and I can prove I have listeners all over the world, okay, and even have a fan club in Japan, okay, the point is, unless you have the exact demographics, unless you have, hello? Oh, you there? Don't go away, okay, my phone is now searching. You there? Okay. Hold on. Don't go away. We just had I have a little glitch here. Hold on. Yeah, I think so. I think you got this big bat boy thing going on here. Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? I think we lost her there for a second. Let's try to call her back. Yeah, you hear that? Let's try to call her back. Searching. We're searching. We're having a searching thing going on here. Okay, hold on. Hold on. Maybe we could turn this around some way. You see, here we are talking about how. Okay, hold on. Don't go away. Hey, let's see. I hope she hung up. Okay, hold on. Yeah, okay.
Hello.
Yeah, those propellers apparently are also...
Yes.
Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Are you there? Can you hear me? Oh, now I've lost her. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
This Tamayaki Yaki Tama phone system is madness. Are you there?
No, I've lost you.
Okay, hold on. Don't go away. Yeah,
okay.
You see? Yeah. We're just having this little problem because it's a long story why we have this, why we've managed to, you know, we broke all the ground in being able to do this stuff on internet radio, and it still had some problems with it. So I guess what I was, it is the demographics. People who listen to this program are loyal, and they know. They got cut. You know, if they're listening to it live, if they're listening to it as a podcast, then they can always, you know, fast forward or what have you. But anyway, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, I guess what I was trying to say was that it gets tougher and tougher to market something or advertise, get advertisements, because the common way and the old ways of advertising agencies who try to get advertisers can't provide exact figures anymore with demographics. And I'm sure you know the problem of, you know, with hits and how many people and who's listening and who's watching your website, right?
Yep, exactly.
It's a giant problem, no matter how popular you get. Although tonight I heard about some people on YouTube who were getting who are actually making a tremendous amount of money based on teaming up with YouTube because they're getting a lot of hits. But even hits could be, advertising agencies still want to know who's listening. Now, I noticed you said you have VH1. That makes a lot of sense. to try to get VH1, because you know the people who watch VH1 are very much the type of people who would, you know, really have fun with your website.
Yeah, and I think that's what's very unique about our website is we have a multiple audience demographics, whether it's, you know, when we were doing the election, we had a bunch of, you know, if you were to look at Quantcast, we had a bunch of, you know, white-collar Wall Street men watching, you know, viewing our website from, you know, people that were picking up our information just from, like, you know, politics, and now it's more of, you know, a sci-fi space thing. And you go into celebrity entertainment. So it's a very diverse website, which is fantastic because we can reach out to multiple people.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and we do that too, but I mean, there's a built in problem with that. And
right.
Go ahead.
But I think hopefully, ideally, keeping all of our fingers crossed, I think that advertisers at some point are going to need to, you know, kind of step back. It's, you know, how accurate are these statistics? How accurate is the information? I mean, I could have, you know, five different usernames and sign up that I'm 5 years old,
right.
One that I'm 55 years old, and, you know, who's to say that's really,
right.
You know.
Right.
So.
Well, they are going to still have to trust the fact that that households, you know, have internets and they're all connected to the internet, and that
right.
there are, in fact, thousands of people. And, I mean, I could verify thousands, but I can't get down to each one, you know, and that... that's going to hurt. You're right. That's going to hurt the advertisers and the advertising agencies. They're going to have to start trusting. Maybe they're doing that already. I don't know. The
right.
The other thing, of course, is content. As you said, that people are going to, that advertisers are going to be have a problem with, because in the past, advertisers supported programs, sponsored programs, and because they put up the money, also took a certain amount of control, and that just ain't going to happen in this theater. Is it?
I believe you may be right.
You know? I know. Look, I've been here since, I've been here on it from the first internet radio station. And, you know, it sounds like it's 1,000 years ago, but it's not. I've been here for like over a decade now doing this. And still, and now, you know, back then, just like you guys, I mean, in a sense, you know, back then, people didn't believe anything like this would catch on. And all the commercial people didn't. They didn't want anything to do with it. This is just a bunch of crazy people. And one station brought me, because I was retired from regular radio. I'd been in commercial radio. I have a history in commercial radio. And they said, why don't we get him? Because it'll also maybe even validate the fact that we're serious about what's going on here. You know? That somebody, you know, came from brick and mortar radio. The content industry, as Leonard Lessig calls it now, or what have you, you know, and then try to make this thing real. The same thing's happening with publications there too, and you know this also, and that is that the whole new arena, getting a whole new audience, and that audience is not like it was before, right? They're not that isolated. They're very generic. People are living longer. There's more people. Generations are older and hipper, right?
You're exactly right.
I have this funny saying. I walk around and I go, you know, I'm old enough to be my father. And people look at me and I just like go, it's true, isn't it? It's like, I don't know what happened. I can't, you know, so therefore I'm also, you know, so I'm, you know, I'm not watching VH1, but variously, or, you know, a lot or what have you, but I'm reading Weekly World News, still, on the internet. What do you think, how big do you think this thing could get? I mean, obviously it could get big enough to sustain itself, but how big can it get, and is that a reflection of what's happening in publications on the internet in general?
Big as the universe. We've been up and running on the internet since, let's see, really, the beginning of September. Have done incredible. It's, ideally, it's just enormous. That's our main goal, but not just on the internet, but in, like I said before, many different media platforms, whether that's, you know, online publication, you know, books, animation, television. I think there are a lot of different outlets for this brand, which is wonderful. So.
Wasn't there once, briefly, a Weekly World News a syndicated television show? I think there was once.
There might have been a smaller show.
That should be in your archives if it's there. I think there was once. It just is like hitting me, and I'm going,
really? I haven't heard that. I mean, we have the musical out, the Bat Boy the Musical.
Bat Boy the Musical, we know, yes, we've heard about that.
Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I did hear about that.
It's the number one most licensed musical from Dramatist Play Service.
Wow.
The number one most licensed musical. It's fantastic.
Wow. Where can we get any taste of that?
Oh, my gosh. I think I do a lot of research on that. It's in about, let's see, between, 6 months ago and in the next 6 months, it's playing in about 40 different cities across the United States.
Yeah, I'm sure there
was. I'm happy to send you some stuff tomorrow as well. So.
I'm sure there was a Weekly World News. What about a Weekly World News movie?
There has not been a Weekly World News movie. We have Bat Boy Lives, the book.
Where Bat Boy Lives?
Yeah, Bat Boy Lives, which was done by Barnes and Noble. And that's actually out right now. You can buy that at stores.
Is all this stuff also available in your marketplace, or do we have to go other places?
No, you can come to our site.
Okay, and that'll lead you there too. I know she got a bunch of links on the front there too, to other places. How do you choose those? Considering, or are those just bought? Do people buy links? Can you buy links?
Within our site, like our blog wall, you mean?
I thought on the cover. Well, I'm sorry. Homepage. I said cover. Homepage.
On our homepage, we have a blog roll, and our blog roll is, just people that we've formed partnerships or site affiliations.
Gotcha.
With.
Okay.
And whether that's, we're driving travelers to theirs or vice versa. That's
well, a Weekly World News movie. I'm sure. How could Neil not be thinking about that? For God's sakes, he has such a background in.
I think he might be stirring up some. Movies in there, so
it says,
I can't say too much without getting in trouble. So.
Oh, I don't want you to get into trouble.
I know.
I'm looking at your, and I'm taking stuff because you sent me the I have the hard copy New York Times ad that you guys ran when you were showing again UFO. See, here it is: UFO alien backs Obama. I go back a lot of presidents, and I go back certainly as many presidents, and he's met the alien. Where did the alien guy come from?
The alien guy, he goes way back, and he's been endorsing candidates for 20-plus years, and has picked the right candidates ever since. So it's actually funny. The alien was endorsing Obama, and the night before, a couple nights before the election, he Cindy McCain seduced him in a hot tub. Because Cindy McCain was, there was a speculation that she was in the hot tub, so he seduced her. And he turned his endorsement to McCain.
She was that good.
And,
huh?
Yes, and ironically, the very next night, he was in Arizona speaking a couple nights before the election, and actually acknowledged the Weekly World News and said that the alien had endorsed him, which was, we had all known that the alien had endorsed the right candidates for the past 20 years, and so he acknowledged that at this election party. And it was on, CBS News the next day and Fox News that he acknowledged the alien endorsement. But little did he know that the reason why the alien had endorsed him was because Cindy McCain had seduced him. So.
Little did he know.
Yeah, little did he know.
I thought one of the most brilliant uses of the Weekly World News was, of course, in Men in Black.
Men in Black.
In the movie Men in Black, the premise of the movie, I'm sure most people out there, 50 or under, have seen Men in Black with Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, and the fact that in that movie, what was hidden was the fact that there are all these alien civilizations that the Earth is in touch with and deals with, and that's the reality, but they keep it a secret from everyone. So, but they all look to Weekly World News, which has the truth, but everyone thinks It's not.
Exactly.
What a great...
Exactly.
Now, you got to... I don't know who else was involved in it. I know Spielberg and those guys produced it or what have you, but wow, what a brilliant way to look at it. And well, what a brilliant touch. That actually became a very important part of the script because what happens to Tommy Lee Jones in the original one? There's two Men in Blacks. And that was just... That was unbelievable. That was just terrific. And it must have given a tremendous boost to...
It really did. And same with Tropic Thunder. That was the past... We were just did stuff with Tropic Thunder.
Yes,
and,
yes, right.
In the past. But I think that's a great way to look at it. I think that's a lot of people's approach. I mean, to your point, a lot of people view it that way. And I think a lot of the, movie, television, other people on the outside world come in viewing the brand as that way. So,
how many people do you think, because, there are so many people who read the National Enquirer. Now, because they're using the real names and real people, and they don't make up characters, and they don't go, even make up stories or whatever, although they do make up stories, I'm sure. But in a certain way, there's so many people who buy that because they feel like they're reading the rest of the story that they can't get in their their newspapers or television, right?
Right.
People want to believe this stuff, is what I'm saying. They want to believe this stuff because it makes personalities more human, and that gives readers more of a feeling that, look, they're not special. They're just like me, right? So what do you think there's people out there who believe anything that's going on? Or I know there have been, right? There must be people who believed a lot of what was going on in the Weekly World News from the beginning.
It's all true. What do you mean?
that's
what do you mean, Frank?
I don't know. Yeah, that's great. I like that. Well, I'm going to have to start digging. I'm going to have to start digging deeper. Here I am letting all this stuff go by. And I'm not getting the essence of these stories as any kind of journalist. I am amiss. I am amiss. I did a whole show.
You don't believe our content? Our content is true. Obama was up with Burris today.
Hey, what
They're
about
eating ice cream for his person?
What about the guys? There's some famous guys too, because these programs are constantly on television, on cable shows too. And there's that one weird-looking guy who always at the UFOs. The people who, admit this, who say, look, there's UFOs and the government's hiding it. There were aliens. I mean, you guys know because you had actual pictures and so, of course, of aliens that came to Earth, that place in New Mexico, all that stuff there like that.
Right.
Do you get any contact from people who seriously believe that aliens are walking the earth and things and stuff like that? I mean, you in contact?
Yes, we do.
So you know what I'm talking about.
And to be serious, we do have quite a few emails a day from, in fact, last week I got an email from someone that, he's a teacher, and one of the students had on a shoe and had stepped in mud, and the bottom of his shoe looked like Kurt Cobain. It took me a while. I was like, okay. And so I asked him to send me a photo of it just because I thought that would be interesting to see the photo of a shoe that stepped in mud. It looked like Kurt Cobain. So he's actually, after the holiday season, because this was during, their Christmas break, he was going to track down the photo and have it sent to me. So I'm very interested to see what this Kurt Cobain shoe looks like. But we do have quite a few. Like I said today, the angel and the tomato, and just people that are really into sci-fi, space alien, and very interesting. And not just that, we have a writer right now that's a very, very conservative blogger that really loves the brand, and just, we have so many faithful fans, and it's just unbelievable, which is great. So I love talking to all the people that are, huge fans of the Weekly World News.
But they're just different fans on different levels, I guess.
Exactly. Well, whether they, exactly. Well,
do you get the dangerous, the real? Do you get any of the dangerous real wackos?
We have not had any dangerous wackos.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay.
So we have experienced. No one has been knocking on our door. Like I said, we're in our Bat Boy cave in the middle of Manhattan, so it's kind of hard to find us. But we have not. had any wackos quite yet, which, knock on wood, we will not.
Well, anybody who's ever gone, anybody who's ever been so adventurous as to go to a public restroom in the subway should know there are no other places as morbid, as horrible. So you guys, you know, don't tell me you're in some place, you know, secret, and Bat Cave makes it sound really weird, but there ain't nothing weirder than that. People will go through great pains, physical pains, not to go into a public restroom. At least they did. I don't know. Did they change that? Does the subway now have these incredible public restrooms? No.
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 Okay. On the subway?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no. No way. There are no restrooms on the subway.
How do you deal at all with mainstream press? Do they have an attitude, or do they just attitude toward you, or do they look? Did they look at? Are they snobbish or what, or do they just don't care or what? Is there any relationship at all?
You know what is so fantastic, which I have enjoyed so much, is we will write stories, and let's see, one of our, our first main breakout, I think you read, was the New York Times, and the New York Magazine kind of re-talked about our brand. But, you know, since then it's been Fark.com, it's been, you know, Deadspin on our sports stories. Perez Hilton picked us up. Pink is a new blog, which is another media. We've had ABC, NBC, you know, all these different, totally different media outlets are picking up our brand. And I think one of our biggest things, Spark.com, are very, very critical on the content they pick up. And, you know, we kind of just go in and we also read the reviews and what the comments sections have to say. And we have had so many people, you know, just wonderful fans that have commented on that. And surprisingly, you know, if that's the site to be, you know, nailed, or, you know, people or hate us and think we're just, you know, another onion or some brand that's just trying to be someone that we're not, we would expect it to be on Fark.com, and we did not get that. So we were very pleased to pass the Fark test. And we get a kick out of the comments that people leave, and it's but that's what's neat. It's, you know, people, like you said before, people, you read it and you're like, okay, this is really funny, but how can you really take it that seriously? You know, it's kind of like, we like to put light on situations. You can take any,
sure,
you know, whether it's the Madoff story, whether it's a John Thane story, and just kind of put a humorous twist to it. Let's make, you know, the serious news a little bit more humorous. So.
But you're not beyond attracting controversy. Let's say, what about people who are maybe overzealously religious? When you do things like, Satan shows up in Kansas, you know, or the hell, you know, the portal to hell found in Missouri, or God says this or that. Is there any social cultural pressure from religious organizations?
Well, one, there's no portal to hell in Missouri. I'm from there. Come on, Frank.
Oh, wait, are you from Missouri?
I'm from State Line, born and raised in Kansas and Missouri.
Oh, that's right. You told me about Kansas. That's right. That just came out of my head. It was just
no. I'm only kidding. We actually haven't really touched so much into the religion.
Uh-huh.
But again, I think that.
I guess I'm thinking about over the years. I guess now you haven't done a lot of that stuff.
Right. We have not recently done a lot of these stuff, but, you know, it's, of course, we're very cautious of what we say, of course. But we haven't necessarily stepped into religion as much, just because it can be a very controversial topic. But, you know, again, it's like if you put an alien mutant in a religious story, it's kind of like, well, that's what, there's no really red flag. I mean, if the National Enquirer was to do that, or, you know, New York Times would do that, of course they're going to be a little bit more, they're going to be grilled a little more on the content and, you know, the cult following behind that. But us, it's a little different, I think. I think a little, people view us a little differently.
You also have a certain amount of protection, well, a lot of protection as a, with public figures, so I guess you're not really dueling with any lawsuits or anything based on things like calling, because people would say to me, how could they do that? How could they bat any spears? I mean, doesn't she want to sue them for that? Or, I mean, doesn't Britney want, you're not dealing with any of that because you fall under the normal protection of publication with public figures, correct?
Right, exactly.
So
you still have to be careful, but yeah.
So I'm assuming then that there have not of all the because we know that, you know, the Inquirer, as I said, dealing with real people and stuff, have through the years, and you know they've broken some real stories and they've refused their sources and stuff, but they've, you know, got into some heavy legal tangles and imbroglios. But I would imagine that through the years you haven't, or has a. Do you know any of the legal history of this?
I do not know the legal history going back to 79. I do know that the
probably not a lot of it, right? I don't think there's a lot of it. Do you?
I do not think so. And I mean, all of our stuff is real. We can't have any legal law.
Well, yeah, I know, and it's funny to say that too. But if someone asks for some sources, what are you gonna do? There's some bald guy sitting by with a manual typewriter. He's smoking about two packs of cigarettes an hour in Miami with the window open. He doesn't even have air conditioning, and he's tapping out that story about Satan who's had a child with really did have a child with Mia Farrow. I don't know. You have this picture of this image of these guys who used to write for this stuff. And I think you guys might have even, portrayed it that way. Not you guys, but back then, you know.
No, agreed. And still, I mean, people now are just, we have some great writers in Austin, Texas, that are, you know, they're one of the top improv groups in the United States. And
So these are all these are all comedy people. They're all humorists.
Not all of them. I think there's, we have a couple in California. We have some here. I personally haven't met every single one of them, just because. But they're great. We love them all. And
did you grow up in the digital world per se more than the analog world? I'm not trying to find out your age, but I know you're younger, and you did say that you were a child when this started, right?
Yeah, I was a child. Okay. I am younger. I won't deny that.
Okay.
Growing up in the analog or digital world. You know what's interesting is people focus. I think one misperception is, you know, everyone is so focused on, like, quote unquote, Facebook and Twitter and Dig and all of these social networks. And I personally am a younger. I don't see society that way necessarily. You know, everyone's like, that's where society's coming to. That's what all these, you know, 13-year-olds are doing. All they're doing is these social networks. And to me, that's just, I don't know, like, what's communication about? You know, what is communication about? But it's very interesting to see the differences of, you know, people that are 10 years younger than me and people that are 10 years older than me. There's a huge, huge difference.
Do you have
versus analog.
Do you have a Facebook page?
I do have a Facebook page.
Ah, I see.
No, I do, but you know what? I know people that are 50 that have Facebook pages. So, I mean,
I had a MySpace page from almost the beginning, but it was because, listen to that. This is a New Yorker for you. It was because I learned early that the only way I was going to get the word around to people, you know, with an internet-based product, as I have, was to be available on all the places, on all the sites.
That's exactly right. And I think that today MySpace has grown a little bit more towards the musical audience, and Facebook is more about, you know, what's new, what's your friend doing, or what's your friend reading. That's great. Ed Anger has his own Facebook page. So
I'm gonna have to find these guys. I'm gonna have to find you.
Ed Anger has his own, and he's the ultra conservative man. So
are you the ultra conservative Ed Anger? They didn't.
He's on there. Then
they never had to go far. You know, they always knew. Here's a fascinating. I don't think it's fascinating. I think it's just another one of the brilliant little pieces of journalism. I think that show up here, as I mentioned before, and that is that this publication always knew its audience. And I think in the beginning, I'm assuming this, but it just seems a lot, maybe throughout more than just the beginning, but it really was a blue collar. They really were looking at blue collar people. That's, and as opposed to, I hate to use the word, you know, intellectuals, you know? Well, I mean,
like,
weren't
well,
they then?
Like, oh, yeah.
So if you want a voice, they wanted a voice that would approach and address middle America, blue collar America, working people and families and stuff like that. They came up with Ed Anger. Let's face it, they did not go far to figure out a name like that, right?
Right.
Right. They knew their audience. They knew.
Yeah, you're right, but he's great. Ed Anger is one of my favorite characters.
But today he's going to be looked upon entirely different because diehard conservatives are not. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Are you there?
No. Agreed.
They're not gonna go.
But we do. One of our big fans is a diehard conservative who is a huge fan of Ed Anger.
Who's that? So, you there?
It's very interesting, bud.
Hello? Are you there? Did we lose you?
Are you there?
Hello? Hello? Oh, good grief.
Did I lose you?
You there? Oh, there you are. Okay.
We just there had, you are.
Had another
are.
Glitch. Oh, still
hello?
Got
it.
Hello? 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 Okay, just another glitch here. I think we're having some... We're just having
got
some...
Got it.
Yeah, just another glitch going on here. And he's Japanese. They still can't make... I shouldn't say that. There's all these people, all my Japanese friends out there. Hey! Hey! Okay. We may need a battery. Hold on. You there? Oh, God. I think I've lost her. Hello? You know what it is? It's the battery. I think this is the first time in ages this has happened. But we've lost.
Hello?
Leslie? Do the show for me, Leslie. Leslie? Oh, God. I've lost Leslie. Unbelievable. Isn't this a shame? Leslie? She's under what to do. She can't hear me, but I'm talking to her. Okay? Leslie? 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 Oh, Leslie. You there? I think we've lost Leslie based on this. Leslie? Can you hear me, Leslie, through here? Leslie? She can't hear me. She can't hear me because I've lost. Let me see if I could do this here. Hold on a second here. Leslie, can you hear me? We've lost her completely. Yeah, she's gonna want us. Well, we're gonna try to call back here for a second. You know what this has to do with? She's stinking. Now I think it's batteries. I think we're gonna need some batteries going on here. Leslie Grossnickel from Weekly World News, having a great conversation here, only marred by my lack of. Let's call her again. See if this works. Let's see if it works here again. If we got some. Leslie? No, that's not going to work, friends, because we've officially run out of battery. Oh, God, that's what they're now saying, low battery. Screwing up. Gosh, goodness. Leslie Grossnickel, I just want to say thank you. I'll get back to her. Maybe I'll try and call her in a little bit. Maybe I'll try to, I will definitely let her know if she's not listening or somebody else is listening that we're terribly sorry that this glitch has taken place. But Leslie and Weekly World News, I want everybody to really get into this if you can. Hey, you see, maybe this will, we got this low battery thing going, and I don't know why, because we're supposed to be recharged. I got to get my staff here to get cracking with this stuff. Leslie Grossnickel is, she has a title, but I didn't get it because I'm not big on titles. I mean, but she's like one of the top brass over there at Weekly World News, which has, oh, we can, here's a thing now. Here, let's see what's happening. Let's see if I can get, hello? Hey, Leslie, you know, this is funny because I'm talking to you over the air, but you see, you can't hear you, that we're having a battery, we're having a charge problem here. You know, Okay. Well, I was going to call you back anyway there, but we're still on the air, and they're hearing me talk, but not you. I just want to thank you a tons, and we're going to have you on again, and we're going to talk more, and we're going to get Neil, and I thank you a whole bunch. Okay? Oh, for God. Don't worry about it, man. I'm with you all the way. I'm a big fan, and I'll do anything I can. And you guys stay in touch, and we'll stay in touch, and we'll get everything going here. Okay? Yeah. Thank you, Leslie. Everyone, Leslie says good night, good afternoon, good evening. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Okay. Ooh, that. I remember the problems we had with that phone. Had a built-in battery. There was something inside of it. Yeah, battery, but you said, I don't know what's happening, I said, with that. Well, I tell you, what's happening is the battery runs out. No battery lasts forever. I think that was pretty much the end of using that phone. That phone was planned obsolescence. It was, when it went, it was gone. So you had to go out and get a new one, or you don't have to go out anymore to get anything. Send away for it. Send away. That shows my age right there. Don't send away, you know, go online. That's how it used to be. Send away. When I go to the post office and I see all the stuff going on at the post office, my local post office here, very little post office, and the boxes, people are coming in to pick up. For some reason or another, boxes don't go directly to homes. I don't understand this, but they're all Amazon boxes. No, unbelievable. Okay, they're not all Amazon boxes, because there's still UPS, but that wouldn't be at the United States Post Office. And the Post Office has its own quick and big sending packages. You can do it. But the number of Amazon boxes that people come to pick up, those are all the things that people sent away for. That was the term, and it's a bad term, but not a grammatical term, but these are, I sent away for it. Where'd you get that? I sent away for it. And so many people especially you people born and raised in the digital era, don't realize that there used to be catalogs. And there still are catalogs, okay? When we've had a number of shows talking about the weird catalogs that do exist, but, you know, mostly for industrial. There are very few catalogs now that have the kind of general things. Certainly not the type of catalogs that go anywhere near the volume of Amazon stuff. And Amazon... Who's Alibaba? Alibaba, as far as I know, isn't that the only true competitor to Amazon? Is Alibaba? That came out of China, and they made billions. So, and there's billions and trillions and zillions and dollars, but my point being, of course it is, and you should know it, so why should I tell you? The post office there, and sending, you know, working all those things, boxes there. I don't know why they're there. Why are they there? Because you mail things with Amazon. You mail, right? And they do that with eBay too. You have to mail if you put something on there to sell, and then you have to, I remember we used to do that from here. So my ex-wife used to try to get things on eBay. It was fun. You know, it was fun. It wasn't just to go buy it. You could buy it. And you can still do that on eBay. You could go there and just buy the item at a certain price. Or, you know, you auction. That was a big thing, the auctioning. To get it when someone else didn't, or to get a bid in before someone else. So then I'm yawning. You believe this? Of course you believe it. All right, well, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, my name is Frank Cotullo. A man whose name adorns the title of the show. And this show is going to be over momentarily. Let's move on. Try and be here again next week. Today's the 11th, as, you know, unless you're listening. If you're listening live, it's the 11th. If you're listening some other station or what have you, it's not the 11th, but we will have a new live show on the 18th, as long as everything goes okay. This is going to be a week-by-week thing. It was always a week by week thing. So don't let me tell you this is anything different. What I'm saying now is, there are way more obstacles in the way, way more in the way. There were way more obstacles than ever that would put one of these shows into, you know, bring us up to the cloud. And when we're not here, we're on in the cloud and we're trying to put together some more material that would be fresh and some, interviews and stuff that we could shove onto the crowd so that, cloud so that when we're not here, and so you could still tune in to SRN and you can get stuff plus music. So it's like a whole different show, but there's a lot of stuff going on that with me talking about things. And maybe we get some interviews and stuff on there too. Whatever we do, we do. That's how we do it. In the meantime, stay cool. I hope you people down in Louisiana, oh my goodness, I know this is going to date the show, but you know, it's good for a time capsule. What's going, the hurricane coming from, the best to all of you this season in terms of the heat, the storms, and everything else. So we'll do that, and we'll try and go to CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com. If you see something there with the dated this Thursday live, and then you'll know we're here. But it is going to be a week-to-week thing. And you're welcome for the wonderful radio.
Smell my underarms, okay. Please.
I will do that when I get a chance. So go buy books at Amazon. That's great. You just link it. You don't even have to go to your post office or have people knocking on the door or the big box and then just download the books at Blurb and at Lulu. Those are my commercials for now, brought to you by me, Frank Catolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. So go on with your business. Go and remember everything we've told you. Stay cool. Happy summertime. We'll be back when we can. Good night, Mrs. Ernst Lau, wherever you may be located. And, you know, nothing more to say.